Heavenly Father, we thank you this day in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus. We declare with the word of God, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we thank you in the troubled world, Lord. You know, you have promised us your peace. You have given unto us your peace. You have left with us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Say this thing that I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you. Thank you because your joy is enough. The joy of the Lord being our strength. So we thank you again for the time to praise the Lord. I mean, there's no better place to be than the congregation of the saints, where the Holy Ghost is moving like he does in our midst. So we thank you, Father, we worship and we adore you. A day in your court is more than 1,000 outside of your court. In the name of the Lord Jesus. So we thank you for all the testimony given, Lord. And thank you now read your word, Father. Bless us as we do, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. It's always good to keep our word, you know. So when we talk about the heaven at that time, talking about Lazarus bearing witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So remember, we talk about all the constellations, you know, that kind of depict the Lord Jesus Christ, the redemption. And I gave out some papers there at that time. Now, you remember, I feel that there are 12 of them, but each of them have additional 3 constellations with them. So all in all, we have 48. And I said that someday, as the Lord will lead, I'll come back, and then as the Lord will lead, to talk about what they call the decans. They are called constellations. Bible will have 3 additional ones. Each one will have 3 additional ones. They are called decans. They mean part of, right? So this morning, by God's grace, I want to, because I get that promise, I don't want to leave it hanging like that. I just let me just finish it up there. So this morning, I want to kind of conclude that, you know. So I say here, this is the conclusion of our condensed study of the heavens as declaring the glory of God. Even David saw those things in the Holy Ghost in Psalm 19, the very first verse. All we have been saying is all about the Lord. Is the gospel in the heavens, right? The Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of all the heaven and earth. So we see that in Psalm 19, verse 1, Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shared his handiwork. All we are talking about in Lazarus is basically the Lord Jesus. That's why we are there really, you know, the creator of all the ends of the earth. So, well, I say it's a condensed study. What you have been doing is this is a huge, huge subject. But we just condense it to a place where we can just get focused, you know, on this subject matter. And the core of our study, you know, is found in Job 38, 32nd verse, where in the Bible asks Job, can thou bring forth Lazarus in his season? That's what the core of our message, you know, in this series, you know. And we found out that some versions of the Bible render that word Lazarus as the 12 signs. And the margin says, you know, the margins, the 12 signs of the zodiac. So when I read this, I want to pass this paper around here. I got more extra information here that I will be going through to land up this series this morning by God's grace. I just pass it around. And I number them by page. So you know, page 1 you already seen it before. Talking about Lazarus itself, what it looks like pictorially. So there are additional there is another, let me see one. That one, who has the one that has labels and things like that, that has a, who has the one that has a Lazarus page 1? Who has that? Look at your page, very first page, I say Lazarus. The very first page, who has it?
I think they're all the same,
Lazarus. No, this first page, that has something that says page 1, Lazarus. Nobody has it? Okay, you don't. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Praise the Lord. Okay. Oh, I got it here. That's fine. I got it. So, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. So anyway, so we are the call of the message is around that Job 30:32, right? Can thou bring forth Lazarus? So we find it is the signs of the zodiac, right? So and so that we see that the scripture mentions 12 signs. As in your first page, I number them page 1, you can see the 12 signs, you know, 12 signs, you know, in Lazarus, you know. So so with the direct implication that God brings them into view at the proper time for his own purposes, you know. So we strongly stress, and I want to say that again, that the zodiac is not the meaning and interpretation given to it by the devil inspired teaching of astrology. And when we gave we gave a scripture to that in Isaiah 47, about passing right there, it said that, So anyway, so the word zodiac, just to repeat something I said before, in writing up to remind us, the word zodiac comes from the Greek word meaning a circle. And you can see in your hand the very first page, like a circle. It's an imaginary thing in the heaven, but that's how they really look. You can see the sun right in the center. You can see our earth moving around the sun. Then this band in the heaven, it's an imaginary band in the heaven, like a belt, And so it's concerned with the appearance, even as the earth itself moves around the sun. You can see how it can pass through each of these signs right there, So that's what we're trying to depict right there. So we're right there. So in this connection, it is used as the way, matters is the way along with the sun appears to move through the stars in the course of 12 months. This way, or zodiac, is an imaginary belt-like area around the middle of the starry panorama, as you see in page 1 right there. So in the zodiac, there were 12 constellations of stars known as the signs of the zodiac. And to each of these basic signs, there are 12 of them right there. But to each of these groupings, there are additional groupings associated with each of them. So gloriously arranged in the heavens like that, And so by the manifold wisdom of God for his own purposes and for that, So altogether, there are 48 of them, together. In that band, there are 48 of them, So, and we have talked about the 12 basic ones already. We went through each of the 12 basic ones. Then we say, the associated one called the decans, which are three for each of them. I say one day we just come back and talk about them. So now quickly, let us summarize what each of the basic constellations really mean, which we went through before in one liner, in one item. Number one, Virgo. Begin from Virgo, right? On page 1. That is seed of the woman. Christ, the incarnate Son of God. Genesis 3:15 says so. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That was Virgo. Number 2, Libra. It means the required price paid. Christ the Redeemer. That was Libra means. We went extensively on that before. Number 3 is Scorpio. The mortal conflict. Christ the sufferer. Number 4, Sagittarius. The final triumph. Christ the conqueror. You can see everything is about Christ. Right? That's why we are there, And that, for no other reason, really, Number 5, Capricorn. Life out of death. Christ the sacrifice. Aquarius. The water bearer, blessing out of victory, Christ the living water. Pisces, meaning deliverance out of bondage, Christ the liberator. Aries, glory out of humiliation, Christ the crowned lamb. Taurus, his glorious coming, meaning Christ the judge. Gemini, his rule on earth, Christ the king. Cancer, his possession, held secure, meaning Christ the protector. Talking about protection this morning. Anyway, Leo, his enemies destroyed, Christ the victor. That's in Revelation 5:5. Read that to start. And one of the elders said unto me, to brother John, the apostle, weep not. Talking about the seven seal book, right? The little book. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. So now, as previously mentioned, each of these 12 basic constellations of the zodiac has three associated constellations known as decans. A decan means part of. They are part of the basic things, right? And they extend the meaning of each basic one. It's the same thing. All the four of them, in each one, the same meaning. know, like a part of something. The basic catechism gave the summary, and if you can, they extend the same meaning of the same talking about Christ all the way. Now, we are, I mean, so it will be overwhelming to really go through the 36 of them. Very, very overwhelming. So what do we do? So, so what we are going to do is to explore the few that most people are familiar with. When I say most people, we will talk about the one that is named in the Bible in particular. So, we are told that the Lord did not only know the number of the stars, He numbered them all. That's in Psalm 147, verse 4, and I read, He telleth the number of the stars. See that? He called them all by their name. Isaiah 40 said the same thing. 40:26 of Isaiah. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who has created this thing? That is the one we're talking about in this consideration. The Creator, the Lord Jesus. Who has created this thing that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of His mind. That is the only way you can only number them or know their name. He called them by their name. For that He is strong in power, not one failing. So again, we'll be discussing the most familiar constellations or the camps. What the Bible talk about? Not many of them. And actually, I'm going to read all of them. They are in three scriptures. All the ones that the Bible talk that we know, the Bible talk about, are in three verses of scripture. So the first one is, in fact, the word constellation. There's only one place in the old Bible where the Bible uses the word constellation. That's in Isaiah 13, verse 10. It says, "For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof." You see that? So astronomy is a true science, right? It follows after the word of God. Before there was any astronomy, Isaiah the prophet, 700 and something years before Christ, already wrote this book and said that there are constellations of stars, right? So true astronomy pick up from there. Now call them constellations too. Anyway, that's the only place in the old Bible where the word constellation was used. Now, so the kind of things we're talking about are all numbered in about three scriptures. And I will limit our discussion to this three scriptures. Job 9:9. And it says this, "Which make Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south." Then Job 38:31. So you see how you number them there? So what we're talking about those ones, the Bible numbers. So we're going to limit ourselves to those ones. So there's no chance of error. Now, Job 38:31. "Canst thou bring bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades, or lose the bands of Orion?" Then the last scripture I want to talk about, where I named the constellation we're talking about this morning, is in Amos 5, verse 8. "Seek him that maketh the seven stars." You know what the seven stars later. "And Orion." See? So, "and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night. That calleth for the waters of the sea, and pourest them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name." It's all about him. All we have been doing this matter of things is all about the Lord Jesus, because he spoke about him. Now, so having said that, now in those three scriptures, we begin with Orion, page 2 of the book of your page 2 of your book, that's in your hand. See Orion in there. If you have seen the heavens before, you can really recognize that thing. This is an artist's impression of Orion. They got the stars in the way they look in the heavens, and they put a picture of a man behind it and so on. Number 2, that's Orion. So now, Orion is the first of the decans of constellation Taurus. Orion is a constellation Taurus, you know. And it is without doubt one of the most spectacular and wonderful sights in all the heavens. Almost anybody can sight Orion because it's so glaringly. I mean, you can't miss him, you know. So, and it must be defeating something, right? It must mean something, right? So anyway, it is one of the most conspicuous and recognizable constellations in the night sky. Visible throughout all the, there's no place in earth where you don't see Orion. So that's something about it. With one exception though, all the main stars in Orion they are bright blue in color, and they are called super giants. That the astronomers call them. All the time in there, they are so bright, and most of them are blue, and they are called super giants in astronomy. Let me explain that. What is a super giant by astronomy? A super giant star is any star of very great intrinsic luminosity. They are very bright and relatively enormous in size. Almost all the stars in Orion, you know, that you can see with your naked eye, you know. So more about giant stars and so on. Typically, a super giant star may have diameter several hundred times the size of our sun. Each of those stars you see in Orion, they are super giant stars. They are hundreds of times bigger than our sun, as you see them right there, you know. And in luminosity, they are many, many millions brighter than our sun. Can you imagine? Because they are so far away, you know. So anyway, so that's what astronomy said, you know, the creation of God. Now, the stars of Orion, from Earth, their distances range from 243 light years, the nearest of them, to 1,359 night years. So now, there is a thing called the Orion Nebula. You know, we don't see it in this picture because it's like black and white here, you know. The Orion Nebula is even farther away than any of the naked eye stars talking to you about right now. The Orion Nebula is 1,600 light years away from the Earth, you know. Don't forget, one light year is 6 trillion miles, you know. So think about that number. So, humanly speaking, the universe is really infinite. You can't count the number of stars. They are innumerable as far as man is concerned. Yet the Almighty Creator, Bible says, He not only number them, He know their names. He has name for all of them. Praise the Lord. So now, more about Orion. The Orion community of star constellation is surrounded by a gigantic nebula. I told you about that nebula across that Orion is 26 light years across. At 26 times 6 trillion miles. The nebula that you see that in the is not in the picture, but even the night you can see it at times, you know, if the sky is clear. Where astronomy define the nebula as the thing is how it is. I don't care how it is formed, but it says it's an ultraviolet radiation from the stars that causes the nebula to fluoresce like a fluorescent light, right? You know, like a gas in a neon tube, you know. The Orion cloud is one of the most amazing sights in the whole of the heavens. If you can see it properly and see that, you know. Now, the Orion brilliance is not only in its starry wonder, but also its prophetic significance, which is our main purpose, really, you know. So let's talk about the prophetic significance of Orion. All that says we just want to see physically, right? So let's talk about the prophetic significance of Orion. Now, Orion is pictorially depicted as a mighty hunter with a tremendous club raised up in his right hand. You can see it in your picture. In his right hand, you know. In his left hand, he holds the skin of a lion, which he has killed as an hunter. Don't forget, all these things are stars, right? The star formation. Look at his left hand. We call it a lion. It's a star formation, right? Like an arc, right? So, when you hear it, this figure is just like star formation. That people, anyway, so that they are killed. The lion skin is marked by a curved line of small stars. You can see it right there. They're not as bright as the real stars in Orion itself. So we see that. His sword and belt are well known. In fact, that's the way you know Orion in the heaven. When you see those three stars in the middle and the sword, that's how you know Orion. Anybody can really know Orion, either, you know. So that is easy to find in heaven because of that particular belt, you know. So the sword and belt are well known, and his head is marked by a small triangle of stars. You can see the head, those three triangle stars that is in the head. Now, his left foot, that is not shown here though, his left foot, you know, is raised to crush the head of his enemy, Lepus. It's another constellation right there below him. It's not that picture. So, description mentions Orion as a constellation twice in the book of Job, which I've read before, I don't mind, which I've read before, and once in the prophecy of Amos, I've read them. Job 38:31, and Amos 5:8. Now, the meaning of the name, in different languages include that they include this is he who triumphs. In all the languages where they know the heaven, the Orion is seen all over the world, right? And different cultures, they have different names for it. There's an original one, right? Before the nations were scattered, right? The thing is this, no matter what they call them, they mainly mean the same thing almost all over. Whatever the Arabs call it, the same thing that the Germans call them. Anyway, those names include things like to see who he's talking about. They include this. This is he who triumphs. That is one language. Another one says the light of heaven. See? Another language says coming forth as light. Just to mention a few of the meanings that different cultures give to Orion or some of his stars, really, you know. So now, from Nimrod to Napoleon, historians and scribes have sought to flatter hapless heroes by comparing them to Orion. See? You know what I'm talking about? You know, however, all those heroes, whether Napoleon or whoever they may be, they paid into insignificance before him of whom Orion truly speaks about. Who? The Prince of Glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. See? So, you know they'll compare hardly people, want to flatter them, you know, to get something from them. Oh, that Orion, Napoleon. No. They all fade away. Who does Orion truly represent? Is the King of Glory, the Creator of all the ends of the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the heat of Orion's sword is a figure of a lamp. You don't see it in the picture probably, maybe you can see it, the tip there, we don't see that lamp here. Figure of a lamp. And he is thus identified with the lamb that was seen in Aries. When we saw the Aries constellation, you know. The brightest star is a splendid, it's called Betelgeuse. Don't worry about the name, really. Betelgeuse, the brightest star in Orion. And that name means the coming of the branch. That's what it means. Betelgeuse means coming of the branch. And don't forget, from Virgo and so on, we talk about the branch a lot, Windows, spirits and so on, that you know. So you see, it's a decan, right? And it's just one of the decans, right? They just extend the meaning of the original constellation that they were found in. Now, Orion pictures the Lord's glorious coming as stated by Malachi. You know, he pictured the Lord's glorious coming as Malachi said in Malachi 3:2. But who may abide the day of his coming? See? In some sense. There's a star called Rego in the foot that is raised up. You may not see it here. Well, I think it's there. So, in the foot, it's called Rego, to cross the enemy. So, it means the foot that crushes. That's what they call that star. The foot that crushes, taking us back to Genesis 3:15. You know, the seed of the woman shall bruise, right? You know, things like that, you know. Now, there's another star called Bellatrix. In Orion's shoulder, that star in the shoulder, one of the shoulders. And, the meaning of his name is quickly coming. Quickly coming. You mean quickly coming, or swiftly coming, or swiftly destroying. Or attributing to the Lord Jesus, in all of those things, you know, quickly coming. The other star called Sight in his leg. Means bruised, no, in different languages, bruised, and is the very word used in Genesis 3:15 concerning the seed of the woman, whose he was to be bruised. Other stars in Orion have names with meanings such as the wounded one. I don't want to be naming the star because there's no value in naming those stars, about their meaning. We are concerned about their meaning, you know, in the ancient time. So one means the wounded one. Another one means dividing as a sacrifice. Another one says the mighty. Yet another one says the prince. Another one says the ruler. Another one says the coming one. All this in different languages, you know. So as you can see, the witness of Uriah is bright and clear, you know, that the one he who once was slain is coming as the prince of light and glory to judge the world, of whom Isaiah spoke thusly in Isaiah the 50th chapter, which I can quickly pass of it. So it's like all about light. Isaiah 60 said, arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Note verse 6, verse 3 especially, where I'm going to go. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, see that the Lord Jesus, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Everything we are saying about Orion and this constellation of the stars, they are all talking about the light, the coming one. So you can see how it depicts the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, it's just one of the cans of the constellation Taurus, you know. Now, we leave him alone, we go to the other constellation, you know, the Pleiades. Now, the Pleiades is an open cluster of stars at a distance of 410 light years from the Earth. In the constellation Taurus, also it's in Taurus, just like Orion, right? So, Pleiades, also it's in constellation Taurus, just like Orion, you know. And let me see here. It looks something, if you know this, if you know the heavens a little bit, it looks something like a smaller, or you know, though hazier version of the Big Dipper, you know. If you know how to see the Big Dipper in the heavens, that's how it looks, and you know. So that's how it looks right there, you know. And you know, so let's see, like it is, you know, like a deeper in the heavens. Now, it is also known as the seven sisters in astronomy, or in the ancient time, they call it the seven sisters, you know. And incidentally, I think they got that from the Bible too, because Amos said so in Amos 5:5, which I read before. Amos 5, it says, seeking that naked the seven stars, talking about Pleiades right there, you know. So he didn't call it Pleiades. I said, wait. Then, but other scripture call it Pleiades. He must call it, the seven stars and Orion. Job called it Pleiades, you know. So in the same thing, the same Holy Ghost just telling us things and so on. So anyway, see, Amos, he was a heart man, right? So he was used to the night sky like David of old, you know. And he was, so God showed him all these things like he showed it to David. And Job too was used to the night sky. God showed them all these things. Now, those consisting of approximately 3,000 stars are in that Pleiades, by 3,000 stars. The scripture refers to it as the seven stars, right? Why? Because only about the seven brightest ones can be seen by the naked eye directly, you know? So,
how do they determine the boundary?
I'm sorry?
How do they determine the boundary?
The boundary of...
that we play this now, so it's 3,000 stars.
Mm-hmm.
So what's supposed to
come from the other? So it's a cluster, right? So now we know this thing because modern science, Bible says that it's numerical, right? But astronomy, because of the great instrument they have today, you can see islands, or when you look up there, islands like a cluster.
Okay.
Yeah, this something.
So they just
be
one.
Yeah.
There'll be space.
Yeah, that's
then
it.
Have another.
That's it. There'll be tiny star before them. But you can see the clusters, just like, you know, yeah. Okay. That's how they know the boundary, you know. So we see. So only about seven of them can really be seen. As if you have a good size, you can see about 250 stars in the Pleiades, really, you know. But there are thousands of them, according to what science has said. And so, like I said, this Pleiades is part of twice in the book of Job, right? In Job 9:9. He said, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and the Pleiades. In Job 31, count thou by the sweet influences of the Pleiades. So now, that brings to a question. What are the sweet influences of the Pleiades? That is in Job 30:31. What are those? What is that, you know? Can thou bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades? Or lose the path of Orion? What do they really mean? Anyway, let's talk about that a little bit. So, astrologers, tell us. The distant stars wield an influence both benefiting mankind and also of bad things happening to people on the earth. However, the Bible warned us against astrology, and which I've quoted that scripture very well in Isaiah 47 and so on. That note, that's what astrologers think. They think those are distant stars. They influence certain things on the earth, some good things and bad things. You know, Bible says we should not follow anything like that. You know, to guide us. But that the Pleiades will wield another kind of influence is something else. What kind of influence is that? The word called influences in Hebrew is Madonna. Almost sounding like your Madonna. What are you doing this day? Madonna is M-A-A-D-A-N-O-T-H. That word in original Hebrew is Madonna, which means a bond or a group. That's what it means. The Vitalist version of the Bible renders Job 30:31 like this. Canst thou bind the cluster of the Pleiades or loose the bonds of Orion? So, as we mentioned earlier, the Pleiades is a cluster, right, of stars, you know. Indeed, astronomers have discovered that the stars are bound together by an invisible force. You and I know that by now, gravitational force. You know, that's what it is, you know. The law of gravitation, which operates over immense distances, all these stars, there are gravitational forces around them, you know, that bind them together, you know. So, though the Pleiades then, 410 light years away from here, and under their mutual attraction, according to scientific whatever, they are moving along in the parallel path. So, likewise, Orion also, the stars of Orion in the belt and so on, that you know, Orion cluster, they form. They are held together under their mutual gravitational bond. Naturally, astronomers in the days of Job, of course, knew nothing of the gravitational bond that held these stars together. They don't know anything about it. But Job knew about these things by divine inspiration. Amen? He did, because the Creator was talking to him, and the Creator showed him all these things. Not because the gravitational force, but he knows something because the Creator is the one that told him all these things. God, in making a point with Job, asked him, the pastor asking this question, if he could lose the bonds of Orion. Well, Job knew he couldn't do it, and greatly abashed, he answered the Lord in Job 40 verse 4, in two places really. Job 40 verse 4, behold, I am thine. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Then in Job 42 verse 3, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore, if I uttered that, I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I know not. So, what can we say to man then about these things? Far be it that putting man could break asunder the power that holds these stars together. You can't. You call them sun. They are really sun. This is about sun. So, you know, in their form that they were, no man can do it. Indeed, it involves forces that Job or his contemporaries did not dream of in their day. Only in recent times have astronomers finally understood these great laws which hold together the universe. But one thing we know, the Spirit of God that inspired Job and the rest of the prophets and so on, that you know, knew and spoke about them in their day. So that's what we can say about those things. So as far as we know, it's astrological to be saying that they influence something on earth and something like that, you know. But we know in scientific terms and so on that, you know, the gravitational forces If you think I bind them together, I think like that, you know. Now I'm going to move on to the next one. So this is a very short afternoon, and go to another one. The Bible talks about Arcturus. It's a red giant star. So you know what a giant star is, right? At that time, or a giant star. I'm saying that the, as far as we know it today, the I told you the Hebrew meaning of it, the root, it means bond. You know, it means a bond. Yeah. So to us today, like gravitational force that hold those stars together, you know, that was the religion. Because it's connected with the that of Orion too, right? So can you do the bands of Orion? Means are connected, you know, so that the great gravitational force between those constellations that are holding together and things like that, you know. So okay. So we'll go to Arcturus, you know. Like I said, the giant star in the northern hemisphere of the earth, ask night sky. Are the brightest star in the constellation Boots. Then that is a new one to us, right? So what is Boots? Boots is one of the decans of Virgo, really. Remember that? So one of the decans of Virgo. So Virgo has its own. They have three associated constellations, right? Boots is one of those three decans of Virgo. So it is known as the Plowman in England. They call it Plowman. In England, but most of the ancient zodiac picture Boots as a herdsman, the oriental shepherd, you know. So don't forget that the Virgo represents like Christ, the seed of the woman, and so on. Then, like I said to you before, each of the decan, they extend the meaning of the original. So Boots here, being a decan, is extending the meaning of Virgo, the herdsman. So the shepherd, right? Who is the good shepherd? I am the good shepherd, right? The Lord said in John 10, we don't have that one here. Anyway, this, according to what they have, it has a staff and a sickle in its hand. You may not see that in that picture, but that's what it looks like up there in the heaven. For the meaning of the different names by which the constellation Boots is known, it is clear that it pictures Christ as the shepherd who is coming, even though he has been pierced. He is coming to separate out those who are his. See, that's a sequel and he has his staff, right? And to gather and rule his own. The staff in his hand is the mark of a shepherd. And the sequel adds the thought of harvest, you know? So, you know, that's just Bush, right? We are in Arcturus, right? But now, because in the constellation of the can of Bush, I just get that brief description about the Boots, right? Go come back to Arcturus. Arcturus is not only the brightest star in the moon. Yes, go ahead.
No, I
tell you that that's not there. The sickle and the I'm just telling you what it means.
Oh.
It has a sickle and a staff in his hand. The Boots constellation, you know. Okay. Yeah. So most that's that picture. So anyway. So now so back to Arcturus itself now, you know. Like I said, brightest star in Boots. It's also among the brightest stars that can be seen from Earth, really. So, the light of Arcturus is so bright that the star, in fact, it was so bright that in Chicago, when they want to have what they call the World's Fair in Chicago in 1933, organizers for the Chicago World's Fair in 1933, were searching for a memorable way to open their exhibit, you know. Here what happened. The previous World's Fair in Chicago that year was 40 years earlier in 1893. So because at the time, Arcturus was believed to be about 40 light years away. See, just, so they did astronomy, so about, they want to mark 48th anniversary of the World's Fair in Chicago, right? What are we use? Oh, there is a star up there, you know, Arcturus. It's 40 light years away. I might do a 48, you know, whatever, 40 years ago. I had it worth here in Chicago. What are we going to do? So scientists now, they gather together. They now pointed the telescope or whatever to Arcturus. It's a bright star up there. Now they collect the light and they directed that light to some, to a photo cell of some kind, you know, direct on it. The photolight now, when you direct the light to it, we emit current, right? That current is used to switch a switch that they used to show, something what they were showing over there in Chicago, like that, you know, just turn the electric switch, you know. So the moral is this, that's how bright, you know, that Astrolux was really, you know. So they know something about astronomy, you know, but they were wrong though. We found out that Arcturus is not exactly 40 light years away, but it's close. It's 37 light years away, actually. But that's just something I want to talk about, you know. Anyway, so just by the way, story. We just conclude, so you know, that's the way we want to go here. I won't go past one. These are the ones that were named, right, by the Bible, the book of Job and Amos, or the Psalms. It gets to be very, very overwhelming, you know, overwhelming to go through all the attitudes they can. So, and so just conclude right here this morning, but before we go on that, so we conclude our study of Mazarus, the redemption story in the start. Now, don't forget this thing, I want to talk more. In 2 Corinthians 13:1, we are told that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, shall every word be established. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead. Take your time. Go ahead. We're not in the...
I've asked you, some of us, you know, in Nigeria, we bind the three different things to come to the
people. I know those things.
And?
I know those things. So, but, I know, if we believe what you are hearing, knowledge increases. God open our eyes.
Yeah.
God deal with us in the level of understanding we have. It's just a wonderful God, right?
Yeah.
I have seen great men of God, you know, that we know. Even Abraham has been preached in Simon or something before. He has preached on the seals before, in the field, in the early something. He himself was thinking that the white horse as man was Christ. Read this, read what he says. For God gives more life. God is so merciful. That's exactly what we know, right? He said it himself. He himself thought that those white horse riders in Revelation that the white that was Christ, you know. Then when he now got the revelation of those things now, then he now say, you just tell you the way it is, you know. So, and God is merciful. It is the devil as we know that the death is us. You know, I always say here, talking about cast out the devil. Yeah, whatever we know, God is faithful. But as we open our hearts, the struggle is people to close their eyes to know something. See, that is the end of it. It's very, very dangerous because you never progress again, you know. So that's the only danger it is.
So, I think, you know, it's not been coming to my mind because, you know, we say that when there's full moon, that it affects different types of people that are.
Okay.
And that, you know, these are mass people or something.
Okay.
And then also that the moon controls the flow of the ocean. So.
Okay.
I think
that's a gravitational pull. Because see that, you know, the moon is a gravitational pull between the Earth and the moon.
Okay.
That's the most scientific in nature, you know. So that's what I can say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I know.
So maybe that's in places of playing this, it may be something that is beyond our current science.
It could be.
No.
It could
be. And there's an influence that
they
exert upon the Earth too.
Yeah, it could be. So, but one has to be careful,
yes,
not to go into astronomy.
Uh-huh.
That is the danger of that. So there's no place where I have to be guided by any heavenly thing.
Yeah.
As many as are led by the Spirit of God,
yeah,
by the sons of God. So what you need to know is in the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost is here to guide us. So that's the thing I want to say about that, you know. It could be, but I will go along that line, that to be led by the Spirit of God. So anyway, so 2 Corinthians, so there are, so God, you know, at the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So we know, in finishing up here, there is also the prophecy in stone, right? Many years ago, we talked about the great pyramid of Giza in Egypt and so on, after 1919. So, and when writing became the standard medium of communication, the importance of these other two witnesses, meaning the prophecy in stone, the great pyramid in Giza, and even the heavens, their importance dwindled away, and the written word takes precedence. Praise the Lord. Back to what I even say. Whatever those things are doing in the heavens, the written word now give us a fuller understanding. That is part of our communication in the last days, right? So when writing came into being, so the written word now, they do not invalidate the truth of the other witnesses, but many people can read the heaven, you know? People with our picture in our hand. It's just like a Niagara time. But the Bible, we can understand it. So that's what we're talking about. So the Bible it gives us a fuller understanding of God and His word. So why the written word contains the full revelation of God to man today, there is some encouragement. What we are studying is to the believer who discovers that sin by belief can, this is our own portion, that's our joy, that God didn't set up shop yesterday. Before that I was writing, how we said, know that it's coming the Redeemer. That's the song we are, no? We don't go to the book of Romans. Did not Israel know? How did they know? They went to Psalm 19, right? You know, so that was what I'm talking about. That's our joy as children of God, you know? God didn't set up shop yesterday. Plan of redemption has been there before the world was made, you know? So that was what I'm talking about. That's our joy. Any other thing is just going into error, one care for so on, you know? So anyway, there are some encouragement to us to discover that the same biblical message is to be seen in the signs in the sky. Also, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Mother of God, will help anyone who has been caught in the false science of astrology. That's another reason why we go through all these things. In finishing, brethren, just to read that, to encourage our heart with this scripture. Jeremiah 31, 37. Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
What are this
stars now? What is the benefit? You know, do they add to us? I just told you right now. First of all, there are two things. First of all, God didn't set up shop yesterday. God put the plan of redemption in the first Bible. I always say the heaven is the first Bible, right? So that's what I'm saying. That's
just
foundation. It's showing the plan of redemption in the heaven. What that was, how did people after Adam know? How did Enoch know? When I was ignorant, how did they know about these things, you know? So God put that plan in the heavens, you know, in the 12 constellations. You can see how each of them depicted with each face from Virgo to Leo, you know? That's why I read the Genesis 3:15 for the Virgo and Revelation 5:5 for the Leo. The plan, we map them to the written word. That is the benefit, you know? We just show the manifold wisdom of God. Our redemption plan that God put in place in there, not just before the written word that has been there, you know? And it's correct. You see, that's why astrology came to being. Everything God does, right? It's unpolluted, right? So therefore, many people are calling astrology today, you know? So this kind of thing to straighten such people out, you know? You can run into them, you know? You know, this is the true meaning of those constellations of those zodiac. This is the true meaning of the zodiac that God put them there. The plan of redemption for man. That was what it's all about, you know.
So, sorry, the one I'm saying is that right now, in the time we're living in, these things have
effect
on.
Yeah, like I said, when the meaning doesn't change, but God gives the written word, right? So why do I have to go? If I see Orion, I know what Orion means. No, I know you know what you mean. I know what Orion means now, you know. So because I can back it for the Bible, right? It's just joy of knowing what God has done.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying, you know. So I have the Bible, you know, so I don't need to. So the Bible now takes precedence, you know. That's why God what he's doing, you know. So that's where I see it, you know. So that's why astrology came up. So they want to now guide people and their life and their by astrology, by moving of the stars. You know, I mean that. And you know, God punished. He said they went to this kind of error too. He said they went to do it and God punished them a lot for doing it and so on, you know. So yeah. So the word of God today. Now, Jeremiah 31:37, as big as the heavens, as it does say the Lord. If heaven above can be measured. We are still in our solar system, right? What we are talking about now. We are still in our solar system, you know? Anyway, so if the heaven above can be measured, Jeremiah 31:37, and the foundations of the earth, such are beneath, and we also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, said the Lord. That's the point I want to make here, you know? As big as the heavens are, even God, we are still the head of God's creation, amen? We are still the head of God's creation. Well, of course, Isaiah 54, verse 2. As we go here this morning to encourage our hearts, let us say this to our hearts. Enlarge the place of your tent. I don't care what you are doing in your life, your business, and some of that, you know. Enlarge the place of your tent. And let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. Now, God's word here this morning, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, in the name of Jesus. Verse 10, Isaiah 54, verse 2 and 3. For thou shalt break forth on the right and on the left. So, number 2 says, enlarge the place of thy tent this morning by faith, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Fear not, lengthen thy cords, and stretching thy sticks. That's all about there. Then, verse 3, the first part, for thou shalt break forth on the right and on the left. Verse 10, for the mountain shall depart, and the east be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you. See? Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, said the Lord that have mercy on thee. Now, don't forget, I don't care how big the tangle for the heavens, but look at you, 1 Peter 2, 9, you know? Look at you and me, children of God. But ye are a chosen people, chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, see? That ye should show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness, into his marvelous light. In one place, in two places, he says, you are planted in the Lord's hand. You are planted in the Father's hand, right? So thank God for what he says about Israel. But we are a peculiar people, a chosen generation is what we are to the Lord and so on. So Romans 8, 16 and 17. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then he has telling us and reminding us who we are in Christ. So don't forget what he said in Isaiah 54 verse 2. Not your tent and things like that, you know. So if children, then he has of God and joined heirs with Christ. So that's who we are. See? Now, in 1 Corinthians 3:21, the last part of that verse, for all things are yours and mine. Amen? Praise God. Let me to put these scriptures here, including this morning. All things are yours, brethren. All things are mine. As heirs and joined heirs of God and joined heirs with Christ. Last scripture, in Matthew 21:22, the matter which you are praying for. And all things. You see? You see, all things are yours. In 1 Corinthians 3:21, then the Lord said in Matthew 21:22, and all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Praise the Lord. The Lord has answered your prayer, amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your manifold wisdom, Lord. Lord, when we do this kind of Bible reading and so on, we are just joining in the Creator. How great our God is. How marvelous you are, Lord. That this our heart, that is tiny dust, speck of dust in the God's universe. Lord, and yet, Lord God, as big as it is now, Lord, we are the very apple of your eye. Lord, we thank you so much. We are, a peculiar people. Lord, unto the Lord, we are the apple of your eye. We thank you because you care for us, Lord. Lord, you live in us. You are taking your abode in us. The very first scripture we learn coming to the Lord is that if any man loves me, I and my Father will come. We make our abode in him. Today we are all witnesses. The infinite God dwells in us. So we are very grateful. We are very thankful, Lord. And thank you for encouraging us this morning. Whatever we need is ours for the taking. See, when we have asked the Lord, but we say we shall surely receive, no matter what they are. Lord, one scripture says that if the thing we need doesn't exist, it shall be created. I believe with all my heart that version to Lord. So as we go this morning, Lord, we thank you, for what you have done, to the humanity. Thank you for the creation. The Bible says understand through faith that the words were framed by the word of God. And the Bible says even the heavens, they were all created by the Lord. So that God is in us, is in you, is in me. Now greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. So we go here this morning knowing that we are more than conquerors in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let it be to us this morning according to our word, that we all break forth on the right and on the left in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And all things are ours, even in this age, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, receive all the glory in Jesus' name. Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah.